720 WGN. Happy Saturday morning, everyone. 1235. We are 18 floors above Wacker and the Chicago River. And there's like all these ropes outside of the studio. They keep on swaying over here. I don't know if someone's trying to scale the building or something.
Spider Dan.
Yeah, I don't know. But, he, you know, that's webbing he's supposed to use, not just some rope he got at Home Depot.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, too, because when you were doing the Whole House story, I was playing that music, and it was very frightening to see those ropes just sway
so
back and forth.
I imagine there's some sort of window cleaning operation.
Probably.
Although it's a little late in the evening.
Well, they're waiting until the sun comes up so they can see the streaks.
They're just swaying here, waiting.
Well, the ropes are not the people.
It's like they got caught sunset at 4:30, and they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll
they cut
stay
the electricity
up here until
off
tomorrow.
They're just out there. They're a few floors
above.
We
didn't get done by sunset, so here we are. No, what's weird about it, though, is the ropes aren't that far apart. They are, like, if it was part of an attached device that was used for the window cleaning, these two ropes would swing simultaneously, correct? They'd both be attached to the same object or anchor, but they are not. It's just two ropes. Yes.
What?
And then they're not the same.
Oh, my word.
They're not the same. Oh, was that it? Oops.
Somebody just went.
Well, they're not also the same thickness. There's two ropes. One is demonstrably thicker than the other one.
Well, that's for the guy at one end of the ramp, the cleaning device.
That's for the
strong.
That's for the overweight guy?
No, he's really strong. He's got a lot of muscle. The other guy is not so strong. He just needs a smaller rope.
One's for the child window cleaner, and one's for his dad. It's a father-son
he's
team.
In training.
That got stuck in here when the sun set. But, like, it's just so weird, and it's swaying. And
all right, now, so think about it. You know, you're a very smart person. I bow to your brilliance. I really do.
That's if a little much, but I appreciate
it. I mean, but so the device usually is anchored when it's not being used at the very top.
Right.
So if the rope is wound through it and then just hanging.
Yeah, you're probably right.
There's nothing to keep it together
once it goes farther
away.
I was thinking that the anchor that it was below it, but you're right. Well, anyways, that's what's happening out our window. Riveting radio here on WGN. You can see the lake off in the distance and these ropes.
The devil baby could be climbing down one of those
ropes. That's what it looks like.
I know.
But, Roger, that's what it looks like. It looks like someone's climbing up or climbing down.
Oh, no.
First one to scale the entire building gets a Limo Nottie's pizza.
Yeah. There you go. Hey.
No.
Don't encourage.
No, don't really do that. The first, of course not.
The first child to do it gets an American Weathermaker's weather station or whatever that is. This is WGN. It is a Saturday morning at 12:30, so that means it's time to figure out what the heck we learned today. Oh, we do it every week, and this is the time to reflect, to pause, to just take a moment to be happy with those things that we've picked up on the day so far. I don't know where to start here, but I guess I'll start with this. So we all know the story of D.B. Cooper, right? Mm-hmm. The guy who took the plane hostage and jumped out with a parachute with, I don't know, $10,000, something crazy. And they never found him. They never caught the guy. It was a successful thing. Some people think he died when he landed. Some people think that he got away, stole some of the money. They found some of the money, but not all of it in the forest in the Pacific Northwest, if I'm getting this right. But there was about 15 copycats afterwards. Did you know this?
No.
A lot of people were trying to be the next D.B. Cooper.
Yeah. Jump out of the plane and do that whole rigmarole?
Or they'd get part of the way through the process.
Wow.
So, this one is the best, though. There's a gentleman named Glenn K. Tripp. And on July 11th, 1980, they think this is the last one, the last copycat. He seized a Northwest flight. By the way, when you look through hijackings, boy, in the 70s and 80s, I don't know what the heck y'all were doing, but every
I didn't get it.
Every 2 weeks there was a plane
That's
hijacked.
That's right. It was the in thing to do.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, seriously.
On a serious note, it all changed. Like, the whole procedure's changed, obviously, after September 11th when you realize hijacking. You know, they would just be like, well, where do you want to go? Whatever, fine. We'll just play it safe. Then sorry. Sometimes they used, obviously, weapons that got on board flights. A lot of them weren't American flights. They were overseas. Anyways, but these were American flights that got hijacked. So Northwest Flight 608 at Seattle, he hijacked it. He demanded $600,000, two parachutes, and the assassination of his boss. Very specific.
Wow.
So a quick-thinking flight attendant, secretly, when he started making these claims and saying that he hijacked it, she actually drugged this guy's alcoholic beverage with Valium.
Wow.
So he became slower. His reaction time became crazier. So this led to a 10-hour standoff. So the plane landed in Seattle. 10 hours on this plane. Everyone's waiting. I get impatient when we have to taxi for 20 minutes, let alone 10 hours.
You can't even wait 45 seconds for a sandwich.
No, I can't. Exactly. Good callback, Roger.
Thank you.
So eventually they're like, well, we're not going to do this one. We're not going to do this one. The negotiators were able to get Tripp down, the guy who did this. Can you guess what he ended up getting off that plane for after the negotiations didn't quite go his way?
Did go to the bathroom?
Remember, he wanted $600,000.
Right. Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. What do you think it was?
What? This was back when again?
1980.
In 1980, so there's no Starbucks then.
Yeah.
I probably got a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Dude.
What?
Did you read this story?
No, I didn't.
Horses.
I swear to God I didn't.
Three cheeseburgers.
Oh, my God.
And... and... wow. He wanted three cheeseburgers and a head start to get away. That was
head start.
It's like when you used to play the race.
While you're eating the cheeseburger. I mean,
maybe he wanted to eat them first, but then they're like, go ahead. So, of course, he was apprehended.
Of course. The Hamburglar could have caught him.
I just wonder at what price.
Mayor McCheese.
Forgot Grimace.
Yeah. Grimace got him. The big purple thing chasing after him. Roger, you are loving this one.
I love it.
Yeah, I wonder how quick did he go down? Like, if he's like 600,000, he's like, all right, fine.
He didn't even get the first cheeseburger unwrapped.
Yeah, he's like 500,000.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. 400,000. How many? No wonder it took 10 hours. 300,000.
Well, he was drugged with Valium. It took a while.
And
I mean,
at what point do the dollars, what point does the currency switch from American dollars to cheeseburgers? And then was there a point that he was at 100 cheeseburgers and had to be brought down further from there?
Oh,
anyways.
God, that's hilarious.
That was the Glenn K. Never thought we'd laugh this much at a hijacking, but there it is. That's what I learned today. Michael, you learn anything today? What are you laughing at?
Michael going, yes.
I am so enjoying Rogers.
Dude, you are loving it.
It's almost like, wait,
Roger, what is happening?
Did you get away with this crime? Yeah. Is this why you're fighting?
Roger's got ketchup on his chin. He's like, that was me, and I just ate the last one.
Well, I'm just thinking of all the possibilities. You're saying, what did he bid down from? You know, I want a shake.
Yeah.
I want a strawberry shake. Sorry, we're out of strawberry. Chocolate shake. Sorry, just ran out of chocolate.
Look, give me a number two at least. Just come on. Oh, it's only breakfast menu now. Oh, crap. I'll get a hash brown. Just give me a hash brown and a head start and we're happy. Ends up with a small Sprite. That's all he gets.
No ice
cream cone.
No ice.
Yeah, no ice.
Takes one sip. Oh, it's flat. Oh.
Imagine if he ever gets out, he's talking to his buddies. He's like, man, you hijacked that plane. What'd you get for that? Oh, man, I asked for 600 grand. No, what'd you get for it? Just cowers away in the corner. Three cheeseburgers. At least get doubles. All right, Mike, what'd you learn today? Roger, I've never seen you this happy in your life. Speaking of Valium.
WGN listeners, if you can go to WGNradio.com, you can stream live and you can see Roger
at his happiest. Did anyone ever see Little Shop of Horrors and the dentist who takes the nitrous oxide? That's what Roger looks like right now.
All right. Do you have a sketch of this cheeseburger bandit? Did he look like a young Roger Banish?
Dude. Roger, wow.
My
All right.
cheeks are hurting so bad. I can't.
It's like Roger's releasing all the joy of his past 30 years in one laugh. I love you, man. All right, Michael, what did you learn today?
Oh, okay, let me land this plane.
Yeah.
Well, no pun intended. Oh, geez, Roger. All right, today I learned that 40% of millennials ages 18 to 29 have tattoos. 36% of Gen Xers do, but only 13% of boomers are inked. And there's some stats I found out that tattoo regret is actually up from 14% from 2012 to 23% in the most recent study.
Probably because so many more people have tattoos. That makes sense, right?
Exactly. But what is the number one reason why they're regretting these tattoos?
Because they broke up with the person that they have tattooed onto their body.
That's a good one. What do you think, Roger?
I'm still thinking hamburger.
Roger, why do you regret your tattoo that you had removed?
The tattoo I had removed?
Yeah, why do you regret? What did you regret about that tattoo?
It hurt.
Wait a minute. You're like, you got a tattoo. You're like, ooh, ouch, that hurt. You know what? Laser that thing off.
Ooh, ow, that hurts.
One more time. What is it, Michael?
It is because they were too young when they got the tattoo. That's the number one regret.
Like, I was too young when I got this?
I was too young. I shouldn't have got that butterfly or that picture of,
Well, the train's already left the station at that point.
You get a butterfly tattoo when you're young. Then you start growing.
Right.
And the butterfly looks like a hawk. I mean, seriously. That would be a regret.
Soon it looks like Grimace. More on 720 after this.
I probably got a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Dude.
What?
Did you read this story?
No, I didn't.
Horses.
I swear to God I didn't.
Three cheeseburgers.
Oh, my God.
And... Now, that was the moment Roger Badish died live on air from laughter. We got a defibrillator, though, and we brought Roger back.
Thank you. Oh, man, that was okay.
Thanks to the paramedics.
Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate all the thoughts and wishes.
It was actually Dave Plyer that provided the energy to bring back
the
Roger.
The man does everything.
He does everything. He sure does. Hosts Sunday morning, 2 to 5 a.m., and brings Roger back from the dead from a laughing fit. All right. Hey, Roger, did you learn anything today?
I learned something that I thought I had heard a long time ago, but I've confirmed it today.
Okay, so you didn't learn it, you confirmed it.
Well, I verified it. Yes, I confirmed
it. That's fine.
It was a rumor. I'd heard things.
Today I verified. Go ahead.
So, today I verified that, you know, high heel shoes... Right? Ladies wear the high heels.
Some guys do, too.
Well, some do.
I started out as... Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Were you about to do a joke you didn't want to do? You just put an abrupt stop on that? You pulled the emergency exit real quick on that one.
Called up the FBI and I just said...
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
Did you know that high heel shoes were invented for men?
What?
Not women. Back in the 15th century, Persian soldiers wore high heels. They brought the shoe trend to Europe, where male aristocrats wore them to appear taller and more formidable.
You know, I can see it because I can think of old paintings of like King Louis, and you can see him
with
in those wedges. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this came from Persian soldiers and then spread throughout Europe. And I don't think that... They made it to America originally, though I've known many of the male persuasion who like a nice pair of high-heel shoes.
Yeah, Columbus didn't have them.
No, Caesar did wear stilettos sometimes, though. I remember those paintings.
Oh, you know, to ward off the Ides of March. You know, he had a, get away from me with that knife.
I'm trying to think of like an A2 Brutus shoe joke, but there isn't one. So.
No. A2, look. No, a 3 wide. There you go.
Come on.
God, I'm banging the head into the microphone if you can't hear
Roger is on fire.
Get Plyer. Get Plyer. Hold on. Get the pliers. All right. You're going to crack your chest open in a moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Bring you back by hand. Okay. If you do pass on, Roger, yeah, from laughing too much,
yes,
we will certainly pour one out for you. And by the way, yes, pouring one out for your homies is a practice that has been common for 3,000 years.
What?
Whoa. So we think of it as like this very modern day, yeah, thing, you know, that people do. You pour one out for your homies, a little, mm-hmm, alcohol, but it actually goes back. It's mentioned in the Bible, the, ooh, Iliad, the Odyssey. It's called libations. It was a ceremony in ancient Greece. There's actually an old figure from a cup that shows a guy pouring a bottle of wine down on the ground from like ancient Egypt. So anyone that thought they were being new and hip when they poured one out for their homies, turns out they've been doing that for 3,000 years.
Boy, Michael, 3,000-year-old scotch, that'd be pretty good. Smooth.
Well, they poured it all out, Roger.
Well, all right, never, yeah, mind.
What do you got? Anything else, Mike? I got, yeah, another one if you don't have one.
Yeah, okay. I got a quick one.
I got
one here.
Some, but go ahead, Michael.
Okay,
Dustin,
sorry.
You're right. No, you never.
I didn't mean to high heel step on your story there. Jeez. Okay, today I learned. Roger, you're making me laugh and you're laughing, and I can't teach anyone anything if, yeah, I'm laughing.
Turn my mic off now.
All right. Today, right, I learned that Artemis Pyle, the drummer from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay. You okay there?
Oh, yes. I was getting choked up now. The drummer from Lynyrd Skynyrd survived that plane crash, that epic legendary plane crash, and walked to a nearby house only
to get a cheeseburger.
He wishes he did.
Yeah.
Only to be shot by the homeowner.
Wait, what?
Yes. The homeowner saw a bloody, long-haired man and winged him. So he survived that plane crash.
Yeah.
Survived getting shot at.
Oh,
and
no,
made a full recovery.
Oh, thank goodness.
That is wild.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? You're just struggling out of this plane crash. You're like, I am the luckiest man on. Yeah. Bam!
All of a sudden, yeah, right.
Thank my lucky stars.
Can you believe what I... Boom!
Y'all believe in the kindness of stranger? Jeez. To the side.
Poor guy. My God.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a lot of plane stories.
Yeah.
That's tonight. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, well, he probably could have used some ketchup.
What?
Why could it be?
Did you know that ketchup,
okay,
used to be used as a medicine?
Really?
In the 1830s, a physician by the name of John Cook started to prescribe ketchup as a cure for indigestion.
Really? I think it's more of a cause nowadays.
Well, now I'm sure it's been reformulated, but now Americans purchase 10 billion ounces of ketchup each year.
Wow.
That's a lot of ketchup.
It's a lot of ketchup. I love ketchup.
I do too.
And guess what? I'll put it on my hot dog.
Nothing wrong
care.
With that.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. No one's ever been able to tell me why that is a thing in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever mixed it with mayonnaise before?
No. Fries is it good?
No, get rid of
it. Sounds good.
It's pretty tasty.
No mayonnaise.
No. Today I learned that the New York City Ballet has a shoe budget of $780,000. The dancers go through 500 to 800 pairs of pointe shoes, performing just the Nutcracker in 6 weeks. And they use more pairs in 2 weeks, performing Swan Lake. That's a lot of shoes. So I thought.
That's a ton of shoes. I was...
Thanks, guys.
Sorry.
Thanks for being a good team there to pick me up for that one.
I was
one.
Waiting for the rat-a-tat from Roger about some kind of text.
No, hold on. Pliers got the things out again to revive him.
I got Twizzlers now.
Oh, Matt's throwing candy at you?
Yeah,
which
Matt's
means he's coming
candy
in here next. Exactly.
Oh, it smells so good. Oh. Mm.
That's incredible, though.
Wait, your Twizzlers smell good?
Well,
what are
the strawberry smell. You just opened it up.
Hey, Roger, how many have we gone through the wax lips yet?
Actually, yes. They're all gone.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, why? You should have come in and gotten one.
I was kind of hungry for some tonight.
What, some wax?
Say,
flavored wax?
What are you guys talking about? I look at Matt for 1 second. You guys are off in your own corner.
You do this to me every week, John. Dude. Every week, you just drive this thing into the ground and then walk out. Well, like somebody who just let one go in a room and walked out and then looks back in through the window to watch everybody suffer. That's what you do every week.
I did that too. Here's the thing is I'm just trying to drive this
That's why I don't
further.
Stay in the studio.
Yes. That's why you're in D. I drive it further down into the ground.
You do a damn good job.
Assured that they'll never ask me to come back again.
You know what we're doing, Roger? And next week, we're getting up early, and we're showing up at that jam thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You come on by.
And we're just going to have you do this crazy giggle-snort hotel crap for half an hour in the background till they can't take it. How about that, John?
Did you hear the story that made Roger go off,
though? You're damn lucky there's no way in hell we're getting up early.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, you're going to really get up?
No.
By the way, this is inside baseball, but I have Roger potted down to about 40 below, and it's still not enough.
I believe it.
But that is crazy. Did you hear the story that set Roger off? The guy who hijacked a plane, asked for $600,000.
I just heard that he predicted the Happy Meal. That's where I came in.
Well, no, so he slowly negotiated. He got negotiated down by the authorities from 600 grand to 3 cheeseburgers. And I'm just trying to, we were just trying to picture that process.
That's a great negotiator.
Like, that is a I want to bring him to buy a car with me.
That's a federal employee right there. Yeah.